This is KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. You're tuned into the Kenai Conversation. Sammy Crawford wants you to vote. Crawford's on the board of the local chapter of the League of Women Voters. She's been a member of the league since 1980, and she's been president 4 different times. We spoke with Crawford about why local elections are important despite low voter turnout in the borough. Crawford also remembers her own first time voting, and spoiler alert, she was really excited. Here's our pre-recorded conversation with Sammy Crawford. Issues of voting equity and accessibility loomed really large in the last election and in kind of the fallout from that election. What in that regard are you kind of paying mind to now, looking forward to future elections?
Well, the league has a national, state, and local precedent. And so we are very concerned with voting rights and voting access. And we support voting accessibility for all citizens 18 years and over. And we are concerned greatly that some legislatures seem to be trying to restrict voting rights. And the league believes that everyone who is qualified should be able to register and vote.
Are there any policies or legislation on a state or regional level here that concern you in particular?
Well, I think the national is the concern that many states have tried to put in restrictions that limit voting access. And it looks like they're trying to limit voting to certain groups. And that makes us very, very concerned. Of course, the Voting Rights Act passed under Lyndon Johnson back in 1965, and there's been a lot of attacks on that and a lot of changes to that legislation that are especially happening right now. And that makes us very concerned. We really want to make sure that democracy continues with every citizen able to easily register and vote.
On the other side of that coin, the borough is updating its election machines this year to be more accessible, to be ADA accessible, and those machines are actually going to be used in this upcoming October 5th election. The borough already uses equipment from this company, Dominion, in its elections, but those machines are outdated, they're not ADA compliant. You were actually part of a committee that picked the new machines. Can you tell us a bit about that process and why you picked those machines in particular?
We interviewed several companies and talked to their representatives. And after a great deal of discussion and looking at all of their statistics, we agreed that Dominion was by far the better choice. And we talked to them. They showed us how the elections were absolutely fair. There was paper backing to make sure that nobody double voted and that every vote was counted. And that made us very satisfied that it was a clean and fair election. And we've been voting here for 50 years on the peninsula, and we've never had any disputes with our election. And we don't want that to change.
Those machines kind of came under fire during the last election cycle following false claims from former President Trump that there was election fraud. What would you say to folks who are worried about the integrity of these voting machines?
They have been checked over and over. There have been lawsuits filed by people who were concerned about the election. None of those lawsuits found any credibility to any of the claims of a false election and false returns.
I'd love to talk a little bit about voter turnout, because voter turnout in the borough has historically been pretty low. We're not seeing very high numbers turnout wise. What is your concern there, and how do you kind of hope the league can improve that turnout?
Well, in the past 6 years, only 25% voted in the last 6 elections. And we do have 6 precincts that are completely mail-in. And we have 31 precincts, only 6 have the mail-in. But we want every voter to be able to vote. But democracy only works when people feel that it's fair and they feel that your vote actually counts. And we are very concerned and we really want that to happen. So the League promotes not only voting, but we do candidate forums. We send out questionnaires to candidates to make sure that we understand their positions on the issues. And we want to make very sure that every voter feels like their views at least are listened to.
Why are local elections important? How would you place that importance for folks who maybe have never voted in a local election before?
I think local elections are much more important than national elections. We have a huge ability to influence which candidates get elected. We can talk to them. They're our neighbors. We see them in the grocery store. We know who they are, and they are willing to listen to us. And we can, it's everything from the tax base, everything to planning and zoning, everything to how we want our local officials to make sure our government works. And I think it is the most important kind of voting we can do. School board, city council, mayor, city mayors, borough mayors, school board candidates. I think it's all very, very important. And we have an enormous influence. I know when I was on the school board for 15 years, if I got 4 or 5 calls, I would realize that this was an issue that I needed to address. And we made very sure that voters who had concerns or questions were listened to. We made sure that we answered their questions. And that's how you participate in a democracy. You contact and work with your local officials.
Right. That's important to remember, too, that once the elections are over, the public process continues with that sort of outreach, that contact.
Absolutely.
Do you remember the first time you voted?
I do. And I grew up in Nebraska, and we did not get to vote until we were 21. And I was just ecstatic when I could vote. And I could drink beer long before I could vote. But I was much more excited about being able to vote. And I remember jumping up and down when I was able to go in and register and go to my very first election. And I don't think I've missed any election except voting for homecoming queen. I hardly ever vote in that election.
What is your voting plan for election day? Where and when do you plan to vote?
I will try to vote in person. I always prefer that. And I have just moved, so I have a new precinct. I knew all of the voting officials in my former precinct, but I like to vote in person. I love to see people who are there volunteering or working for a couple dollars a day to make sure that the voting is clean and that everyone is completely eligible and make sure that they understand the process, they understand what's on the ballot, and how to do it. It's a simple process, but it's really, really important.
Well, thank you so much, Sammy, for your time. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Election Day is October 5th. You can vote early. You can vote absentee. You can vote in person early. And whatever you do, really try to find out what the candidates are, what their stands are. There's some amazing differences in candidates this year. And this year we're voting on school board members and borough assembly members. And these people set taxation rates. They're the ones who set school policy. And it's really an important election. So I urge everyone to register and vote on or before October 5th.
That was Sammy Crawford with the Central Kenai Peninsula League of Women Voters. The League is holding its own candidates forum for the upcoming election on September 23rd. Linda Farnsworth Hutchings is running unopposed for seat A on the Soldotna City Council. She currently holds that seat after she was appointed to fill a vacancy in December. We spoke with her yesterday. Here's our pre-recorded conversation with seat A candidate Linda Farnsworth Hutchings. So, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for the seat?
Well, the little bit about myself is I have lived in Alaska and in Soldotna my whole life, except for, you know, a couple little trips here and there when my husband was in the military. But basically, it's my parents homesteaded right in the middle of Soldotna. And when I think about what has happened from that little dirt track of a crossroads and where we are today, I feel like not only did our pioneers and my parents and their friends have so much to do with it, but it's only fitting that I should kind of try to do something worthwhile as well. So I've enjoyed being involved for many years. I was not running for political office while my children were young because that is a lot to put on any child. And having parents that had been assembly, school boards, city councils, city mayors, hospital boards, kids get a lot of flack. So I said, no, I'll wait till my kids are gone. In the meantime, I did a lot of nonprofit work. I still sit on three nonprofit boards. I was on the Parks and Rec Committee for years and years with the city of Soldotna. I had been on the KAKM board, you know, years and years ago. I have been on workers' comp with the state of Alaska, so I have a lot of relationships with different people in different venues. And so I think I bring a lot of information and experience to the table.
So I do want to ask you about some of that specific experience, but first, you've been on the council for a couple months now. You came into the role in December.
In December, yes.
What are some of the most memorable things you've done in your time on the council and some of the things maybe you're most proud of so far?
Well, I think what I'm most proud of is how well we all work together. There is respectful dialogue, and I think that that's really important because we are going through a really tough time right now, and we've been going through it for a while. And so I've also liked seeing what we have done with our COVID funds, how we have helped our community, and how we have brought our community together with this additional funding so that we have not lost as many businesses as a lot of places have.
Yeah, I want to talk about COVID funds because we're eligible, Soldotna is eligible to get a little over $1 million from the new American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA. Do you have thoughts on where you'd like to see those funds go?
Well, I'm going to wait until we have our workshop because in that way we will discuss all the opportunities, but there are not as many restrictions on these funds, so we will be able to expand, I think.
And speaking of COVID, you know, Soldotna is currently requiring masks in city buildings, and masking has been a bit controversial for the city throughout the pandemic. What do you see as the city's role in the COVID-19 pandemic?
The role I see, I know some people are upset about masks or whatever. I consider it respect. I've watched good friends die because of no vaccines and refusing to wear masks, and I don't want to put somebody in that position if I can do just by wearing a mask or just by having my vaccine. I am worried about younger children because they can't be vaccinated and they are truly at risk.
I'm sorry about your friends. Before, you were talking about the experience you have on different levels of local government, including at the borough level. Do you see any potential for partnership anywhere else between the borough and the cities? Is there anything you kind of like to see in terms of partnerships on those levels?
I would love to see collaboration. We didn't get, any of the cities on this peninsula did not get to where they are without collaboration. And sometimes I think that gets lost by the wayside, which is really sad because, you know, when we started out this borough, right after statehood, which was mandated because they wanted the schools to be handled at the local level and not at the state level. So we've gone from 5 schools to 42. We have gone from Soldotna wasn't even a city, and then we became a city. And then in 2015, we went for home rule, you know. So we have been growing. We've got so much to offer our citizens. We've got about 15 parks, a wonderful cemetery. We have fishing parks, walking parks, dog parks, kids parks, not to mention our wonderful Soldotna Creek Park for the music venues and weddings and family get-togethers. So, you know, it's all that is a collaboration of so many people, and I just want to see that continue.
You mentioned parks, and Soldotna puts a lot of money towards parks and rec, and that also takes up, you know, real estate, cost the city money. Do you support current spending on parks and recreation? Would you like to see more? Would you like to see less?
You know, I think we're doing really, really well. And if anybody ever looks at the city of Soldotna's mill rate at 0.5 compared to everybody else's, I think we are very good stewards of our money.
Annexation has been a hot topic for a few years now. What are your thoughts on kind of annexation and where it's standing at the moment?
Well, I can't really comment because it's in the courts. So that is not a subject that I can discuss.
You know, moving kind of to another topic of the moment is the dispatch services. And the borough is proposing Soldotna pay more for dispatch services. The city said it believes, you know, that's more of its fair share of the cost and has proposed splitting costs with Kenai. What are your thoughts on that?
Again, it is something the administration is researching, and they will bring all of those options to the council to make their decision whether we go it alone, whether we blend with Kenai, or whether we stay with the borough. So it's what is going to be best for the city of Soldotna, and that will be brought to the council to make a decision.
What do you think is the biggest problem facing the city right now?
Well, I will tell you, I don't know that we have a big problem. I mean, like I said, we're great stewards of our finances. We have multiple venues for people to enjoy. We have a robust economy in the city of Soldotna. So I don't think there's anything that's bad or overwhelming. I think it's just to continue doing the good job that has been being done.
Of course, when we were talking about the COVID-19 relief funds, a chunk of that was helping out small businesses in our city who were struggling during the pandemic. What do you think the city could do to further increase economic opportunity for its residents? And you're, of course, a business owner as well, so I'm curious kind of to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, the thing is employees. I think that's the big issue that we all have, because we have, you know, motored along, so to speak. And we, of course, have rentals, and I have watched those businesses struggle with lack of employees. And I think that's the big thing. We need to be able to have access to people that want to work.
Do you have any kind of ideas for what the city would be able to do to bring more employees in?
I don't know that it's bringing more employees in. It's making people feel comfortable getting out. You know, they've been staying at home for the last 16 to 18 months, and sometimes it's hard to let them, you know, they've changed how they live. Daycares are not at full capacity by a long way because one of those parents are at home with those kids. Therefore, they're cooking more at home, going out less. So there's a lot of things that happened in this dynamic. And I think it's making people feel comfortable to be out in the workplace, to be out socializing, because it does not help when you see the COVID rates surging. And, you know, it happens to all of us. We all get an employee that calls in and says, I've got COVID. You know, so he can't come to work, and more than likely his partner can't go to work because they're also exposed. So it's really tough. And I know I'm probably not going to be appreciated, but get a vaccine, wear a mask, be respectful of your neighbors, your friends, and your family.
You mentioned how you have seen the city change over the years, and you've been, you know, your family was so involved in the city for such a long time. Do you feel like that gives you a unique vantage point and from kind of the other candidates? And, you know, maybe how does that inform the way you think about the city and city issues?
Well, it's history. And I'm running unopposed, so it doesn't make any difference to anybody else that is running against me. But I think it's the history. It's the history of seeing what we've accomplished, what people expected, what we did right, what we might have done wrong or not quite right, and we had the opportunity to fix it. And I just think that history is a huge thing. You know, it's just like when we started out, we were a fourth-class city. And it was in 2015 we decided we needed something more governance-oriented. So I did work with seven other people, and we took care of getting all the signatures we needed, and we got it on the ballot, and then the people understood what we were asking for and what it was going to do for them, and we managed to achieve that. So now we're a home rule city, which gives us more governance over our area. So I think it's just staying involved and realizing that just because it's, okay, it's like this, that we don't do anything. There's always something more you can do.
Is there anything else that you are hoping to focus on in your time on the council going forward? Any kind of big picture things you're excited to discuss?
Well, you know, I think that what we are really looking for is getting everybody back to normal. And I think after that, you know, I love seeing infrastructure expansion, and it just makes us a better city. And I love the beautification that our parks and rec have been doing. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've done a lot of green space along the highway and flower baskets and, you know, benches for people to sit on. And what we've done with Soldotna Creek Park, making it a focal point for people. You know, it's those type of things and our expansion of our trails that makes this a place that people want to come to.
And last but not least, if you'd like to say anything to folks who are listening, it's kind of a chance for you to give some closing remarks.
Well, the only closing remarks I have to say is really read the information when you go to vote. It's really, really important. I'm not going to specifically endorse anybody because I don't think that this is the place to do that, other than myself. But like I said, I'm running unopposed. I would appreciate your vote on October 5th, but I just really want you to read what the other people bring to the table.
That was candidate Linda Farnsworth Hutchings for Soldotna City Council, Seat A. Don't forget to cast your vote on or before October 5th. We'll be wrapping up our interviews with Soldotna City Council candidates next week, and then finishing with interviews with candidates for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly during the last week of September. You've been tuned into the Kenai Conversation. I'm Sabine Pooks.